From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. The U.S. House of Representatives is scheduled to vote today on a long-awaited $19.1 billion disaster aid package. President Donald Trump openly objects to the bill's inclusion of additional relief for funding for Puerto Rico. And the House of Representatives has stalled the vote because the bill does not include funding for border security. Immigration provisions were removed to help ensure the aid would pass, where it has already through the Senate. Relief for Georgia farmers has been a political football on Capitol Hill. From the devastation of Hurricane Michael to trade tariffs, farmers have faced months of uncertainty. So what is the outlook and mindset for Georgia's agricultural industry? Well, Mark Peel is a cotton grower and president of the South Central Georgia Gin Company, joining us on the line from Berrien County. Welcome back to the show, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Virginia.
And Jeffrey Harvey is with us. He's director of the Public Policy Department with the Georgia Farm Bureau, joining us from our Macon studio. Jeffrey, thank you for taking the time.
Good morning, Ms. Prescott. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, thanks for being here. Now, Mark, we spoke with you last October just after Hurricane Michael roared through South Georgia. Acres of cotton ready for what looked like a boom harvest were flattened. What have the last few months been like for you?
Well, Virginia, every time we talk, you know, it just seems like doom and gloom is all I have to report. I'm afraid it's not much better. Once again, it's weather-related. We are facing one of the toughest droughts I've seen in years. We haven't had significant rainfall since sometime in February. And with 3 months, I don't think we've had any rain, measurable rain. And record heats, I can't remember when we've ever had so many consecutive days of 100-plus degree temperatures in the month of May. Month of May is our planting month, and when the peanuts and the cotton go in. And right now, a lot of our seed is just sitting in dry dirt, you know. And, you know, we're just can't believe it. You know, we went from extreme rain, you know, following Hurricane Michael, now to extreme drought. And some of our guys were barely able to negotiate funding for this year, and some of them have carried over some old debt into this current year. And we really, coming off the heels of Michael, we really needed everything to fall into place.
Yeah.
And man, we are really off to a rough start.
Yeah, and as we know, it did not. Now, I believe the deadline for crop insurance is what, June 10th,
June
so this 5th, week?
June the 5th.
Oh.
Well, to receive full coverage, and it drops, I believe it drops 1 percentage point right up to June the 15th. And after June the 15th, you have no coverage, you know, so. Our guys are really, really involved in a risky business. You know, it's tough. It's tough. You know,
I'm curious. You know, you talk to a lot of other farmers. So you're hearing from them that they are also incurring more debt. Jeffrey, I'm wondering what kind of decisions are made for crop insurance and what does it actually insure?
Yes, I mean, most farmers evaluate their crop insurance options and just make sure that they're at least covering their input cost, and crop insurance is obviously it doesn't protect you against situations like Hurricane Michael, but many farmers are required to carry it. Their lending institutions will require them, and they just make sure that they've got enough coverage to at least cover most of their inputs to get them up and running.
All right. So as Mark mentioned, we needed everything that they could help us with. Can you bring us through what exactly happened to disaster relief funding promised to Georgia's farmers by the president, by the vice president, and other federal officials right after the storm? I know it's a complicated story, but if you could summarize that for us.
Yeah, it is, and it's 8 months in the making, and it's been very frustrating to watch the process. And there's been two or three situations where we thought we were surely going to be able to ride in on an appropriations bill or another measure that would help get us to the finish line. But I do think that we owe a debt of gratitude to our Georgia legislature. If you remember, a former governor Deal called special session on November 13th, and, you know, the state did what it could do to help, and many of the farmers that we've talked to, they would not be operating this year if it wasn't for some of the assistance that the state provided, right at $275 million. low interest loans and some income tax credits there to get them up and running. Our delegation in Georgia has worked tirelessly to keep the conversation alive in Washington. As with many states, the conversation may have moved on after 8 months, but our guys, especially down in Southwest Georgia and in the middle part of the state, have continued to stand up and ask for assistance. So we were happy to see the Senate take action before the memorial recess, and we're excited to see what they're going to do today.
Right. Senators Perdue and Isaacson also really active in advocating for aid. But this is all on top of a brewing trade war with China, characterized by brinksmanship, certainly, on both sides. How have that trade war ratcheted up tariffs affecting Georgia farmers?
It's been a difficult situation, considering the issues with China started last summer. We had Hurricane Michael in October, and it's just been one bad issue after another. And as Mark said, coming into a rough planting season and a very severe drought right now, it's been tough. And we were trying to remain optimistic, but the issues with China are concerning. We feel like they're very it may be a long-term dispute that we're dealing with. We are excited that the administration, the president, recognizes this issue, and he recognizes the fact that ag commodities have been hit very hard, and has taken action along with Secretary Perdue to help through a market facilitation type program that would help those producers who are exporting products into China.
Now, that there is Jeffrey Harvey, Director of Public Policy Department with the Georgia Farm Bureau. Also with us is Mark Peel, a cotton grower and president of the South Central Georgia Gin Company. And of course, last week, the president announced 10% tariff on Mexican goods effective this week. So increasing the stakes, let's say. At the end of May, President Trump, as you just alluded to, announced $16 billion bailout for farmers who had been hurt by the trade war. And that this follows a similar aid package of $12 billion in aid in summer of 2018. Did farmers in Georgia see any of that financial aid, Jeffrey?
Yes. We were scheduled to receive, I think, right at $47 million for our state, most of that going to cotton producers. So I haven't checked back to find out what the final tally is on what we've gotten, but we're excited that this new program expands on the crops that will be covered, crops like pecans and peanuts that were not covered in the last version of this facilitation program will now be covered. And obviously we'd much rather have free trade and open markets, but in light of this, many of our folks have stood behind the president and think that this short-term pain will be worth the long-term gain, so to speak. We're hopeful that this will help get us through these tough times, and once a deal is reached, that we'll all benefit from it going forward.
I'm looking at a Department of Agriculture numbers. By November, just under $1 billion had been paid out to farmers since the first $6 billion pot of money was made available back in September. So a lot of that money hadn't been distributed. Mark, did you see any of that?
No, ma'am.
You did not.
We're still hanging on to the promises, that's filtering down to us from our government. Back in March, we were promised, disaster relief money. And it wasn't a question that it was a done deal. Basically, all I do is clear the Senate. It was a done deal. It just, we were told like 4 to 6 weeks for it to make it to the local FSA offices. And then all they had to do was process the money and send it out to us. And, here it is, June. And we were promised some decision we made before Memorial Day recess. And I understand someone blocked that as well. And this is Trump country. Let me just say this. We backed the president. I backed the president myself. And I think I think most of the farmers understand what's going on, what the administration is trying to do and sort of with the tariffs. But I think, maybe China is targeting the agricultural industry in the U.S., the infrastructure as well as all the farming. And, in our neck of the woods, the agricultural industry backed the president. And if this is part of their strategy, you know, to, as a way to apply pressure to Trump, it's working. It's working. Because right now cotton is 66 cents. And that's a direct result of the tariffs. And one strategy, we thought maybe we could sell to China indirectly through Mexico, you know. And now,
that deal's not going to work.
We don't know how Mexico is going to retaliate, you know.
Well, President Trump has said American farmers are resilient and then they can weather the storm. Well, what do you think?
Well, storms we're going to have to weather. I mean, the tariff storm and Michael storm and Irma storm and now the drought. You know, we understand that to a certain extent we're kind of pawns in this tariff game, but, you know, it's no game to us. You know, and I'm receiving some negative feedback from some of our growers, and some of them were staunch Trump supporters, and they are really, really rethinking their position on this. I mean, it's got down to it's just survival right now.
Yeah, what a shift.
That's just it, you know.
So spring, a number of crops already planted, peanuts, for example, you said in dry ground. Mm-hmm. What tools do we have at our disposal to help Georgia farmers through and maintain the value of Georgia grown?
If you're speaking to me, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know what the answer is.
I guess I'm asking that question in general because, you know, as you said, we've talked a number of times through the past few months, and it is doom and gloom.
Yeah,
and
I know. I hate it. I hate it because it seems like that's all I have to report. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I would love maybe the next time we talk, it'd be, you know, things would be different. But, I mean, the farmers are that way. I mean, it's just like we can't catch a break, you know.
All right. So one possible bright mark for Georgia farmers now, the passage of Governor Kemp signed a law permitting the cultivation of industrial hemp, which could be a great crop. What's the reaction from Georgia farmers? Jeffrey, can you answer that for us?
Yes, ma'am. This topic, we probably received more phone calls on this than anything else recently, other than obviously disaster assistance. But you know, farmers are excited about it. They, you know, it's in the news. It's everywhere. People want to understand, you know, how it's grown, you know, what the rules are going to be, and, you know, if this is a viable crop for us. Farmers are always looking for that opportunity. You know, show a farmer a market, and he will feel that need. So there's a lot of interest in it. I think we're on hold right now until USDA approves our request and rules and regs are written. So I don't expect this crop to go in this year, but possibly next year. And you know, if there's processors that want to work with farmers on producing the crop, then I'm sure we will see some of it in our state.
Yeah, Jeffrey Harvey, Director of Public Policy Department with the Georgia Farm Bureau, I want to thank you for your time.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And I appreciate you having me this morning.
And Mark Peel, just appreciate your honesty and candor. And next time, let's find something really happy to talk about, shall we?
I hope so. I really do.
Mark Peel, cotton grower and president of the South Central Georgia Gin Company, joined us on the line from Berrien County. Now stay with us. What happens to boy singers when their voices change? They might quit, but one professor shows choirs how they can continue to incorporate those changing voices. I'm Virginia Prescott. Stay with us for more of On Second Thought. Let us know how you think we can help Georgia farmers. You can go to @OSTTalk on Twitter. We have a Facebook group, Facebook On Second Thought, GPB.